You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Acts this morning. The book of Acts, we're going to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at a situation that God is dealing with, not just one person, but two people in this instance. And it's amazing, that's what God always does. He deals with those that have the message, and He deals with those that need the message. And so we're going to see some of that in just a few moments. Once you find your place in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, I want you to stand. Go ahead, Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Please stand when you find that. I'm going to read the first 8 verses this morning, probably looking at most of the chapter as time permits. But I'll begin reading verse 1 and just go through 8 to begin with. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. I'll let everybody get there. Pages rumbling. All right, let's begin reading. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to open the Word of God. And Father, this morning, as we look into these things that you have given to us, that they would be reminded of how you have given us so much, and that you have given us the words of your words, that we might follow those and know exactly what your plan is for our life. We ask that you would just guide and instruct, and that you would help each one of us as we look to you and we seek you this morning. I pray that you would challenge our hearts and help us to put action to our faith. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for standing. Today we're looking at this situation, and we see that there's a couple things that take place here. We're going to see that there's a vision of God. There's two men that actually see this vision. There's going to be a vision of others, and there's going to be a vision of ourselves. And when we think about seeing, it reminds us of the eye and how the eye works. You know, their eye is a wonderful thing. If you've ever been in a situation where you couldn't see, you would understand that more closely, I think, today. But the fact is that things do happen that distort our vision. There's myopia and hyperopia, either nearsightedness or farsightedness, when the eye is deformed or it's elongated or the lens is flattened or whatever. And so you can't see quite as good. Nearsightedness, you can see things that are near. And farsighted, you can see things that are far, but you can't see the opposite. And sometimes we, as Christians, we are spiritually that same way. We have myopia, or spiritual myopia. We can see things up close, but we can't see things far off. We can't see what's going on in other people's lives and what's happening in other situations. If we have hyperopia, or farsightedness, we can see far off, but we can't see ourselves. We don't look at ourselves, and we have those blind spots. And then, of course, if you're blind, you can't see anything. Sometimes you can't even see God, especially if you're spiritually blind. And this morning, I just want to bring a message I've entitled, Do We See What God Sees? Do we see what God sees? And as I look at this passage this morning, as we began reading in chapter 10, verses 1 through 8, we see right away that God has given a vision to two men. And the vision is really something that we all need to understand. And our first vision of God is to understand who He is, realizing that He is the creator of all things. It's God who created this world. It's God who put us on the face of this earth. It's God who loves us and cares for us and sent His Son to die for us. It's God's love. And I am so surprised that he still loves me as a sinner. But the Bible teaches us, but God commended his love toward us in that, not willing. No, I've got the verses messed up. I'm sorry. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It's amazing sometimes when, and I notice this when I'm getting older, these things don't come as quickly as they should, and I get things messed up. But anyway, verse 8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And to me, that's just an amazing thought when you think about while I was a sinner, while I didn't care about the things of God. In fact, some of us even hated God, he still loved us. And that love was demonstrated by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And that's what he did. So who is God? He's the one who gives us this life. He's the one who sustains us. He's the one who can transform us and make us into something different than we are. He's the one who delivers us. He is everything. He is the I am, as he shared with Moses. He is the Redeemer. He is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 47:4. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Remember, he is holy. And that is so important. That concept of God is different than any person on this earth. And that is, he is holy. He is pure. He is sinless. And again, that's what we have to become to be with him. And he can do that through Jesus Christ. And that's what he's done for us. When Isaiah was meeting the angel or the seraphim, they said, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah responded, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So when we get a vision of God, we begin to realize who we are. That we are helpless and hopeless, and that we need something, something that we don't have, and it's something that only God can give to us and wants us to have. Well, that's exactly what's going on here in Acts. As we look in the book of Acts, we see in Acts chapter 10, we see this man named Cornelius. He's a man that is really seeking and wants to know more about God. The Bible tells us here that he was a devout man in verse 2, one that feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. You know, there's a lot of people that are in that same situation as Cornelius today. They pray to God. They want to give to God. They want to really know God in a serious way, but they are misled, misguided, because someone has not come along and shared with them what they need to know, and that's that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And it's all about Jesus and nothing about what we can do for ourselves. Cornelius was a man that was praying. And here we see, as he was had this vision, it says in verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And he looked on him and was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. What do you think? Here's a man that's praying and asking God. Now, we don't know exactly what he prayed. We don't know exactly what he said. But I think in my mind that he was praying to know God in a closer way. He was seeking God and his direction in his life. And so what's the first thing that God's going to do in a person that does not know him? He's going to send somebody to him that he may know him. And that whole story, when you think about it, is so miraculous. Because here, Cornelius has got a vision of God. And that vision is to go to this certain place by the sea, to a certain man's house, Simon the Tanner, and get a certain person, Simon Peter. God is in the details of every person's life. And here he gave him the details of what he needed to do, because he said, he will tell you what you need to know. And to me, again, that is an amazing story of how God works in a person's life. But look at verse 9. Remember Peter and who Peter is. Peter is someone who is very zealous. Peter is someone that often stuck his foot in his mouth or the sword in his hand. And he welded it before the Lord could say anything. He clipped Malchus's ear off there in the garden. And Jesus told him to put his sword away. See, he was zealous. Did he love the Lord? You better believe it. Did he want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he did. But he didn't have clear understanding what the plan was. And we see that today, that even in this passage, Peter is still not sure of God's complete plan. But I want you to know, you may be here today. You may be here with myopia or hyperopia, or spiritually speaking. Maybe you don't know what God's plan is. But I promise you, if you get in the Word of God and you seek the Lord, He will reveal to you the very things you need to do. And it may require just one little step. Because that's the beginning of everything, is it not? One step leads to another step, which leads to another step. And it's all about building faith and trusting God. Would you do that for me? Thank you. My lips are getting stuck together again. Sorry. So here, let's look in verse 9. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. I feel like Marco Rubio. Did you see? I'm sorry. Anyway. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Rob. So here he saw on the morrow when he went on their journey. So they're on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. So they're right there in the city. It's about the 12th hour or noon. It says Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. And he became very hungry. You know, a lot of times this is where God wants us. He wants us to be very hungry. And then He will provide and meet needs. Well, here it's a spiritual sense. He's physically hungry, and God is going to reveal to him through his hunger some things that he, in his mind, cannot see. He cannot see afar off. He cannot see what God's plan is. And God's going to reveal it through his hunger and through the food that he's going to show him. He said in verse 11, and he saw heaven open, this is a vision from God, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Now these are things that under the Levitical law they would not eat. Jews would not participate in this. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter, being a good Jew as he was, he knew this was something in his Jewish tradition and his heritage that he was not to do. And see how he responds, again, not seeing the plan that God has for him to do something. He says here, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And the Bible says this was done three times. It took three times. And Peter was still confused. He still didn't understand. He still didn't know what the plan was about. It says, now, while Peter doubted in verse 17 himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Again, here's a man filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God speaks to him. Now today, it's not exactly the same way because we have the Word of God. The Spirit of God reveals the Word of God to us to help us to know what God's plan is for our life. So if we want to know what God wants us to do, we got to come here. He's not going to go and verbally out in the big wilderness speak to you and say, Bruce, I want you to go over there. That's my southern vernacular. But nonetheless, he will speak through the Word of God and he will reveal to us what God's plan is for our lives. And that's why we memorize the Word of God. Because when we are in the wilderness, when we are on the backside of the desert, we can recall, or the Spirit of God will help us recall what's in the Word of God, to help us take those steps, to help guide and direct us into the place He wants us to go. So often we choose our direction based on how we feel about something. Our emotions get in our way, and we'll make missteps because we will not go back to the truth and seek the Word of God. Peter was in this struggle. And I'm sure many of you have been in this struggle. God, what are you telling me? What do you want me to do? This is something that was out of the norm. This is something that he had really no idea about. He was, in his mind, called to the Jews, and this is the first time he's being called to a Gentile, someone that the Jews had nothing to do with. In fact, they often called them dogs. And yet here, God is giving him a vision to go to a man that is not of the Jewish heritage. And so this man knocks on the door, and the Spirit of God speaks to him and tells him, "Hey, behold, three men seek thee." And verse 20 says, "Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." God told him specifically not to doubt this, but to go with them. And that's the peace that you and I want, to know that we're in the will of God. That's the very thing that God will reveal to us through the Word of God. Give us the peace that He wants to go, because we will not doubt what He's telling us to do. If you have doubts about it, you need to wait on the Lord and allow Him to give you the peace to know that's your next step. Sometimes we jump over steps that God has for us, thinking that's where He wants me to go. I'm sure there are missionaries that go on the field with not really having the peace of God, that that's really what they're supposed to do. Maybe they think that they have to go because somebody else is telling them to go. Maybe they said, I've heard people say, "Well, I told them I was going to be a missionary, so I got to go." That's not a reason to go be a missionary. Let's take the little baby steps and know where God wants us today before we jump into something that we're not supposed to do. Because God will give you peace if you're supposed to do what He calls you to do. So then, verse 21 says, Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore are ye coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee." So here the Spirit of God speaking to Peter, who has the Spirit of God living inside of him, is going to take the message of the Word of God to a man that needs to know God. That's what missions is all about, is it not? One man telling another man about Jesus Christ, the third man, if you will. And that's exactly what's taking place here. And why is because he had the vision from God. This morning we need the vision of God. But we also need the vision of others. And that's exactly what we all have to come to, is that point that we can see what God sees and how He sees that. Because God will take and He will give us a purpose. He will give us the preparation to do that purpose. And He'll also provide for us to accomplish that mission which He has called us to do. You know, so often we think that I can't do this. Well, you're right. You can't do it. It's only in the power of God that we can really do God's will. It's God working through us and in us that we're able to accomplish what God has called us to do. And I cannot do it on my own. It's impossible. I've tried it. It doesn't work. But through the power of God, things can be changed and things can happen. It's all about seeing what God sees. So Peter, he made his way and he saw these others. Look at verse 23. It says, "Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered in Caesarea, I'm feeling more like Marco all the time. Sorry. It says, "And Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him." So you see where Cornelius is. You see his mindset. Right away he thinks Peter, in a sense, is special like God. He's bowed down and he's worshiping Peter himself. And Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." So Peter realized what was going on. He said, "Hey, get up. I'm nobody to be worshipped. Who are we supposed to worship? God and God alone, not man." And so often that's what happens. The fear of man leads us from the worship of God to fear what man wants us to do. And Peter told him, he said, "Look, I'm not the guy you're supposed to worship. It is God. Verse 27 says, as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Amen. They got a meeting already set up. Cornelius is waiting for him to come. He's gathered his family and his friends. In verse 28 it says, he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. He's saying, you know that I shouldn't be here. You know this isn't right. But look what he said. He said, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Why? For God so loved the world, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is everybody has the opportunity to know the Lord. But not everybody's going to hear the word of God because some of us will not share it. Because that's our responsibility today. Jesus came for the purpose to seek and to save that which is lost. In Matthew chapter 5, we read today that we are the light of the world. You say, well, how can we be the light of the world? Jesus is. I like that old illustration years ago that I saw that, you know, Jesus is the sun, like the sun. And we're like the moon. Jesus Christ, for those that are Christians, His light reflects off of the moon or lights the moon. That's who we are. And that's who we are in this world. We're Jesus Christ's representative. We're really His ambassador. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, or not 8, but 20. So here we see that God has a plan for us, just like Peter. And Peter, understanding through the Spirit of God what God called him to do. That's how important it is to be in the Word of God, so you know what God wants you to do, where He wants you to go, what He wants you to be. And so Peter had a vision of others. He was caught up in the law. He was prejudiced against the Gentiles. But God did something in his life and changed him. And that's what God does for us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. When we receive Christ as our Savior, those things which we thought were important, those things that maybe we acted upon because that's the way we grew up or that's the way we were taught in school, any of those things that were in our life at that point, all of a sudden God is changing those. He's shaking those up. He's making us different than what we were. You see, you can't get saved and stay the same. Because if that's happened, the Spirit of God probably is not in you. Because the Spirit of God is real. And it does a work. And that work will be demonstrated in our lives. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it tells us that He wants to change us, but it really requires three things. One, it requires that we present ourselves. It says here, as a living sacrifice, right? And then it tells us that we're to renew our minds. So why? We can be transformed. Our minds need to change and see what God sees. Understand what God has to say. Not the world. The world today would tell us we're foolish. The world today would say, we don't want any of that. Today, young people have been taught there is no God. There are no authorities. That's why the lawlessness abounds today in our country. That's why people can do what they do and feel not guilty about it. There's no authority because we've taken God out of our country, in our schools, and trying to remove Him from our government. But then the last part of that verse says, proving the will of God. So we're to present ourselves, we're to renew our minds, and then we're to prove the will of God. How do you prove the will of God? You take the Bible and see what it says and then go do it. And look at the results. Now, they may not be immediately taking place. It may take a little while. You need to learn to wait on the Lord. Understand that He is the one that gives us the strength to mount up with wings of eagles and to run and not be weary and to walk and not faint. He can do that. But we have to take the challenge of getting in here and finding out, Lord, what do You want me to do? Where do You want me to go? What do You want me to be? It's a vision of others, seeing that people need the Lord. Peter submitted to God completely. Cornelius was a man that had a desire to know. He understood that he needed something, and he was seeking the Lord. He was praying and asking God for something. And Peter was the man that God wanted to send to him. And what did Peter do? Cornelius, I want to tell you, I don't know why I'm here. And I mean, we don't agree. And you know what? I don't want, you guys are unclean. I'm going home. Look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." What does he do? He preaches the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells him exactly what he needs to know. Now, it doesn't go through here and tell us all the details, but I can imagine that he's sitting there talking to Cornelius and helping, and all these people that are in this house, helping them understand that their sin is what is keeping them from God. They cannot have a relationship with him because of that. And he probably explained to them the fact that Jesus went to the cross and died for them. And all they have to do is understand they're lost in their sins and trespasses and admit it, and then call upon the name of the Lord, believing that he can save them. Not that you just believe in God. Jesus says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In John chapter 14, you have to put your faith and trust in God's plan. And that is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Many people believe God. The devils believe and tremble, the Bible says. And so Peter is preaching to him and he's sharing with him. Verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that though his name, or through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So he preached the gospel. So here Peter, he had a vision of God. Cornelius had a vision of God. And then Peter, realizing that God was in this and the Spirit of God was speaking to him, he went and he had a vision of others. And I'm not talking about just the Jewish nation, because we know after the day of Pentecost, who was it that was the guy that first preached? It was Peter, was it not? He preached. He was on fire. He loved the Lord. He wanted people to know about it. And he preached the word of God. He went down through there. But now it's the Gentiles. I have nothing to do with them. But God changed his vision. Now he sees clearly. But what about the vision of ourselves? This morning, can we see God's plan for our life? You know, sometimes people think the will of God is something that's mysterious and we can't know it. Or I know even when I was in Bible college, I remember thinking, I can't wait till I get out of Bible college so I can do the will of God. You can do the will of God the very day that you're in existence, right here, right now. And for you, if you're born again Christian and a member of this church, you're in the will of God by being here right now. This is the will of God for you. And God will reveal the will of God as you take steps of growing in Christ, as you start looking through the Word of God and allowing God to move you in the direction that He wants you to go. There may be somebody here. I don't know, but somebody may be called to go somewhere else and to do something else. There may be somebody here that it's God is tugging on your heart and He wants you to be in the ministry full time. It could be a pastorate. It could be a missionary. It could be an evangelist. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. God is looking for faithful men and women to be in those positions. But you need to learn how to be faithful to God first. That's the whole point of God taking and training us and moving us in that direction. As Pastor Canavan pointed out in Ephesians 5, chapter 4, verses 11 on down, is that's what God's doing in our lives, is to help us so we can do the work of the ministry. Not just the pastor, and not just the Sunday school teachers, but every one of us. He's growing us. A vision of ourselves. It's knowing that God is doing a work in our lives. When we're walking close to our Savior, we'll see things through His eyes. Just like Peter, as he was struggling, God will reveal that to us. And He will bring to us those things that we need to do. For me to be here was a struggle. This was not something that when I went to Bible college, I said, you know what, I really want to be a pastor. First off, that was not my reason for going to Bible college. And I really want to go to Maine to be a pastor. And that was definitely not my reason for going to Bible college. The reason I went to Bible college, I wanted to learn the Scripture. It was God who taught me and showed me through studying His Word that He led me along. I just need to walk in the steps He's given to me. Trust Him for it. And that's what He'll do for every one of us in our lives if we trust Him. Because we do have a purpose here. And that purpose is to go where He wants us to go, to do what He wants us to do, to be what He wants us to be, to allow the Spirit of God to speak through the Word of God, to teach us and to help guide us into what He wants us to do. And when you have the vision of God, then you will begin producing fruit. You see, that's what Christians do. We all of a sudden go, poop, boom, boom. You know, the fruit just pops out. The fruit is what God gives to us when we learn first to cleanse ourselves. In John chapter 15, there's a good sermon here, but I'm not going to preach it. It talks about cleansing ourselves or purging ourselves, getting right with God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our first step, is keeping a close account of our sins. And once we do that, then we can learn to abide in Christ. In other words, I can just trust Him for everything. I can just walk with Him. I can seek Him, and He's going to give me the next step. It may not be tomorrow. It may be 2 weeks from now. It could be a month. But abiding says, I do what Christ says, and it may be stay put until I tell you to step out. And when you learn to abide, then He's going to move us. And we do all this through being obedient through Christ. You know, the Bible teaches us that if we love Christ, we'll do what? Keep His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And we know the commandments shouldn't be grievous to us. Although I must be honest, there are times when you fight, and I fight those very things that He shares with us. But we need to resolve that His way is best, even though I don't understand it. Even though it doesn't make sense financially, even though it doesn't make sense to me because just common sense, or what we call common sense. And by the way, common sense is really what's common to you. Your common sense and my common sense aren't the same thing. And God, He dispels all of that because He turns it all around and says, this is the best sense right here. It's the Word of God. And this morning I want to challenge you that you not have myopia. Not to be where you can just see close up, but you can look out and see that there are people that are dying and they need someone to tell them about Jesus Christ. But also, I don't want you to have the hyperopia, where yes, you can see outside and you can look and say, well, look at that brother's sin. He needs to get right with God. Instead of examining ourselves, realizing there's something that we need to do to be right with God. And especially, I don't want you to be blind to the things of Christ. He's given us so much, and He wants us to be able to do so much, but it's only by His power and His strength that we can do it. I can try stepping off and going, but without Christ, I will not accomplish the will of God. And that's what I need in my life. This morning, the question is, do we see what God sees? Do we have a burden as God has? In 1700, a little man in England, he was a cobbler by trade. He put a map on the wall of the world, and he was praying about areas, and he had an area he was praying about. And he went to the minister and to the deacons and said, hey, we need to pray about this area. Somebody needs to go here. And they said, told him to sit down. He says, when God wants your help to convert the heathen, God can do it without your help to convert the heathen, basically is what they said. This gentleman's name was William Carey. He had a burden for somebody in a far land. And so he left and he went to India to share the gospel. I want to tell you, that's what God wants in our lives. It may not be India. Hopefully it's not Africa, right? But maybe it is. But it might be across the street. It might be next door. Now, I know we live in Maine, and across the street's a long way where another house is, but that doesn't mean we just keep driving by it and never stop and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I want to share with you. I want to share with you a man sharing with another man about another man, Jesus Christ. Are we ready to follow the Lord wherever He leads us? We sing the song all the time, but do we really do it? Let's bow. Father, again, we thank you so much for your love for us. And as we look to the Word of God, I pray this morning that you would challenge each one of our hearts. Father, I am wrestling myself with things. And as I see the need, there are a lot of people in our community that need you. It's evident because they're not here today. And Father, I just pray that you would give us a burden. First, that we'd see ourselves for who we truly are. And Father, if there's sin in our life, help us to confess that sin and get right with you. And maybe the problem is we've never received Christ as our Savior. If that's the case today, I pray today would be the day of salvation, that anybody without Christ would understand that message clearly. And maybe they'd step forward and say, you know, I'd really like to know more about this salvation. And Father, I just pray you would guide and direct in those lives. And I pray you'd give us all a vision for the lost in Stratton, Maine, and the world. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.